Emunah is something that's not talked about enough, but it's really the very fiber of our existence. The Goyin says on the Gemara, Rachmana Liba Boy, Hashem wants our hearts. That's not going on the emotion of Avas Hashem, of love of Hashem, or Yiras Hashem, or fear of Hashem. It's going on the deepest part of us is our attachment to Hashem. Emuna, the Baal HaLeshem, Rav Eliashiv's grandfather, the last of the Mechadshei Kabbalah, according to the Chazon Ish, says the gematria of Elokeinu is Emuna. What does it mean? Elokeinu means not just there's a Borei Olam, but part of our Emuna is I have a relationship with Hashem. Elokeinu, our Ribono Shel Olam. Emuna doesn't just mean believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's believing that we, me and Borei Olam, are like this. That Borei Olam has something in mind for me. He cares about me. And he expects me to succeed, and he knows I can succeed. And that's what real Emuna is. And Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. Chavakuk comes and says that Tzadik lives on Emuna. It's not just that he lives, it's his chiyus. It makes life so exciting when you know that you have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 24/7, Borei Olam is involved with you in particular. And last week we discussed various things that could be fixed if we knew that Hashem is not playing a practical joke on us. Sometimes we feel like life is a practical joke, but someone who's chai with Emunah knows that all of the things that happen to us, it's not a bumper sticker. Gamzu l'tova. It would make a good bumper sticker, but it's very deep. Gamzu l'tova means, Nachum Ish Gamzu said it, Rabbi Akiva said, Kol d'rachman avad l'tov avad, is that everything that Hashem does for me in my life, or puts in my life, allows me to grow and advance, without exception. There is nothing in my life that's a practical joke. Every single part of it. And the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem says in Perek Zion, that Moshe Rabbeinu Lefi Dargasa, we don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu Lefi Dargasa, we know he did something. We call it hitting the rock, Mimriva. We don't know what happened over there. But we know, the Maharal says that we have Midrashim to prove it. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. The Rambam Shita also says that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. And the Pasuk says, Lo hamantem bi. And I would never be able to say this on my own. But it says there that Moshe Rabbeinu lefima dargosa. If we could take out a microscopes, 0.00000000001. Keep going. I just don't have the kayak. Moshe Rabbeinu was lacking emuna on some level, and that's how he got angry. People who have emuna know that everything in life happens for a reason. The Maharal in Nesiv HaKas says the root of all anger is I planned that it should go this way. And now, whoa, curveball. Somebody who's a Maimon says there are no curveballs. Everything's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And this was a tremendous yisoy that we discovered last week, that a person can fix their midas, can have shalom bias in the most frustrating of scenarios, can deal with children who are driving them crazy because they know that this situation is not a joke. It was put here for me to steig. And even further, the Goyin said on the Gemara in Yuma and Daftes, the Gemara says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilia Raya Shvichas Damim and Avodah Zarah. But the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And the Goyin surprised us. It's brought in the Sefer Emunah B'Hashgacha by Rav Shmuel Malzin, the author of the Evan Shlema. The Goyin surprised us, and he brings rayas from the Gemara itself. The earlier generations, you know why? The Beis HaMikdash was built after a mere 70 years. Bayis Rishon was rebuilt after 70 years. Why? Because they had Emunah and Bitachon in Hashem. But the second Beis HaMikdash, we're still waiting for the third now, because they were lacking in Emunah. And the obvious question that we asked, and we asked our Rabbi in Baruch Hashem, is the Goyin saying the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of problems in Emunah? It says Sinas Chinam, senseless hatred. How could the Goyin say it was an issue of Emunah? And the answer, we pointed out, and this is going to be where we're going to expound on things more, is that no, if I hate somebody for a good reason, so then I have a good reason. He's bothering me. He's not allowing me to live. He's taunting me. What does it mean to hate someone for no reason? It's to feel that people pose a threat to me. Because you exist, there's not enough room for all of us, right? There are two types of lines for things that you have in life. You have a line where there's unlimited supply. And it's true, it's annoying to wait on the line. You're looking and people sometimes cut. It's a chilul Hashem, should never be by Yidden. But there's unlimited supply, so it's calm. You ever see a line for unlimited supply? Poof, poof, poof. You're posing a threat to me. There's limited supply. If I don't get over there, I'm not getting. Right? It reminds me of my kids when there's only a little left of Kiddush. You need a helmet to deal with the whole thing. What's the issue? The issue is I perceive that you and I, there's not enough room for everybody. And emunah means that no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put each one of us here for a purpose. You for a purpose, me for a purpose. We all have a reason to exist. Every moment of our life, there's enough room for us. And not only that, each person can say on themselves, Chayav Adam Lomer Bishvili Nivra Olam. The world was created for me. I have plenty of room over here. And you can't touch anything. You can't harm me at all. And now we come into probably the most relevant sugya, I'm sorry to say. This is the most relevant sugya to us. It's not my chiddush, it's Shlomo HaMelech's chiddush, but you guys are all going to agree, and this could be the most important shmooze to ever hear. I'm a good salesman. My father's in advertising. I know I say that often, but you'll have to look in the archives to prove how many times I said that. This is the most important. Kina, which is jealousy. Jealousy, well, I don't feel jealous of anybody today. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Shlomo HaMelech says, not so fast. All of us have the sickness of jealousy. In Koheles Dalet Dalet, V'ra'isi ani es kol amo ves kol kishron amaisa. I've seen what's going on in the world entirely. Ki hi kinas ish mere'ehu v'goymer. Everything is jealousy. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. Whoa, what does that mean? What does that mean? And now we're going to enter the world of really understanding your role in the world, your friend's role in the world, and how we can work on this. Lidaiti, this is the only sugya that the Bali Musar say, the only way to get out of. We'll have to keep going for weeks. The only way to get out of this problem called jealousy is emunah. There's no other trick. Anger, we have other tricks. Kina, jealousy, there's only one way to get out of it. And that is through emunah. So let us get into the sugya. Number one, it is very heavy. It's part of the mankind to be affected and yes, somewhat jealous of people. There's a certain level of health. It's not an isser that's just for society to be maintained. That people see what's going on by others and it motivates them. And this is not my chiddush, it's Chazal's chiddush. Chazal say, in Medrash Rabbah, Seder Brachos, Tes Zayin, Rav Nachman bar Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Shmuel bar Nachman Amar. Hine toiv ma'oid ze yetzer hara. What's the best thing? The yetzer hara, huh? Right, isn't that the guy who causes this trouble? No, etzmah, the Medrash is bothered. Yetzer hara toiv ma'oid. Ella she'ilu le yetzer hara. If it wasn't for the yetzer hara, lo bana adam bayis. Nobody would build a home. Really? Interesting. Velo nasa isha. No one would get married. Nobody. Velo holden. No one would have kids. Kids are hard. Velo nasa v'nasa. No one would be involved in business. V'chein shloima yomer. What's the raya? Ki hi kinas ish mireyu, the pasuk that we started with. Everything is jealousy. What does this mean? This is fascinating, and we can't begin the sugya until we understand the power of people over us. People control us, right? When does a guy want to start dating? When his friend gets engaged, right? This happens all the time. Like right after L'chaim, Rebbe, we have to speak. 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 Like what happens to this guy, right? Or he wants to get engaged, because you know why? The first thing he thinks about, don't tell the girls this, is he can't wait to go to the boys and go, I got engaged! And she thinks he's so excited, like, why is the L'chaim, doesn't he look at me? It's so exciting to tell the boys, right? Hope you picked the right one. Rachmana Litzlan. Even building a home. Building a home. I was speaking to a very fancy person. I know how fancy people speak now. They go, I have property over here. I have property. They call it property. It's really like a mansion. They go, property, property, property. I have property in Ramat Eshkol. Right? Property. It's so fun to say I have property. I have property. And believe it or not, the reason people have property is so they can tell people they have property. And noisei v'noisei, business. People ask you, so what do you do? So that's why I need to be a doctor. So go, I'm a doctor. Oh, I'm a lawyer. Oh, right? Scary. Shlomo HaMelech says this is part of the health of humanity. If we didn't have this little boost, we wouldn't do anything. We'd just sit on the couch all day. And we have to recognize this before we recognize the problems with this. We have to recognize the power that people have over us. However, there's one fundamental difference between this and terrible jealousy. This is all healthy. And it's true that in the olden days, when I was even a kid, we used to live as loners, as being alone. What do I mean, being alone? I mean that we would go in our room. At the end of the day, we'd be alone. When we would take a walk, we would be alone. There were times that we were alone. Today, people are growing up without ever being alone. They're born into a family chat. They're born like, Mazel Tov! They're in the family chat as the delivery room, like, family chat, whoa, it's happening, we're almost there, yeah, press send, right? What's going on over here? And this is the way the kid is niskadel, is that it's all about everybody, everyone. It's monitoring me. And it's not that people are something type of small motivation. I don't live my own life, Rachman al-San. Shmuley Lazar told me about a cartoon. Shmuley Lazar of Ozai. He told me about a cartoon. This was so good. I was so jealous of whoever drew this cartoon. It had two people under the chuppah. A man and a lady. And they're standing there and they've got their phones in hand. Right? And the officiator of the chasana says, I now pronounce you man and wife. You may now update your Twitter and Facebook accounts. I couldn't say it better myself. I should retire. If this is the cartoons today, gewaltig. But how scary. How scary. Today, and I don't envy anyone in this position, every experience is not yours, is being dependent on others, is being shaykh to what they're doing. And there's a term that we never had when we were kids, and there's a reason we didn't have this. Okay? We had something called arachnophobia. I'm still afraid of spiders. Okay? I'm afraid of a lot of things. We had the boogeyman. He's still around, I think. Right? Then there's something that's new. It's called FOMO. Fear of missing out. Do you know that we never had this term when I was growing up? We never had this term. And you know what? We had issues with friends, but we never had a fear of missing out. Do you know why? Because the world has turned, has changed. Before, I had my life and I had my boys. Today, doesn't work like that. It's all the boys. And therefore, if I'm ever in a room alone, I feel I'm not living. Chas v'shalom, I'm dead. Because if I'm here and they're there, the party is there and I'm out. Rachmana Litzlan. And this is a new phenomenon that could have only been created by people who, when they're ordering something on the Gap, they're telling all their cousins they're ordering something on the Gap. I was just told a story, a true story. Five Bachrim left a wonderful yeshiva. All at the same time. Why? Because one of them, they were all on the same chat group, and one of them decided he's going to go work. And he was telling them, the chat's going to work! It's like five guys in one day. Baruch Hashem, three of them, they tied them up and brought them back to yeshiva. What happened over here? Because if one of them is going, whoa, what's going to be with me? Rachmana Litzlan. And there are things here that never existed. Parents communicating with their children, so beautiful. They have these WhatsApp. This WhatsApp is gewaltig. Is it gewaltig a thing? WhatsApp. But I'll tell you, I see some of the sad parts of WhatsApp. And I'm just here in my little shtetl over here, you know, learning my Gemara. And only a few people come over to me. And I'll tell you that it's ruined the lives of families. Why? I'll explain to you. Very simple. Bracha, we'll call her. Bracha posts her beautiful new baby in her new Baby Gap outfit. Boop. Posted. Okay? Ruchi, only 3 months later, posts her baby in the same Baby Gap outfit. Boop. Sounds harmless, right? But Bracha remembers 3 months ago when she posted this, she got two responses from the family. Right? Ruchi got 7. And she has documentation. She has the whole WhatsApp group. Riots after riots. Not only that, the two in Bracha's group wrote very cute without exclamation points. And in Ruchi's group, they did when you dove off the screen with the exclamation points. And I've seen this multiple times. Multiple times. There's no communication of people. There's family communication. You know how dangerous that is? I feel for Bracha. She's not a person. She's a family app. Rachmana Litzlan. She'll never feel like anything. She's been living in a metzias of groups. And she has no yechidus whatsoever. The yisoid over here that we're trying to understand is emuna. It's an emuna issue. There's a yachid. There's a person who was brought into the world who has to say, Chayev Adam Lomer Bishvili Nivra Olam. This world is significant for me because of me. Yachid is gematria kavod. Real respect. Dignity. I'm somebody who's worth everything and the whole world could take a hike. If I'm in the base medrash in there, they could take a hike. I'm living it up. They're all losers. Every one of them who's not where I am is a loser. And I'm the only winner. And perhaps this is an updated version of none other than Hillel Hazakin. Hillel Hazakin says something, and there's a lot of perushim on this, very deep ones. It's the Marsha even says Pshatim al-Pi Kabbalah over here. But let's try to understand what he's saying at his moment of excitement at the Simchas Beis Shoeva in our generation. Says Hillel Hazakin, Imani kan, if I'm here, Hakol kan, everybody's here. Interesting. Vim Eini kan, if I'm not here, Mikan, who's here? What's this? What's going on? And why is he saying this at the Simchas Beis Shoeva? This is an expression that is based on something that was makabel from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro. This is the greatest form of happiness that a person could ever have. To feel that if they're somewhere, everything they need to enjoy life, to experience life, to do, to become, is there. They have nothing to fear. And if they're not there, then the world will never see that mark. The world will be lost forever without my neshama being there. There's nobody there if I'm not there. You know what it is to live like that? That's the romamus of living with Elokeinu gematria emuna. I have a Hashem. I'm somebody who is meaningful. If the whole world would be gone, Chayev Adam Lomer Bishvili Nivra Olam, that means you're alone. You have to believe that if you were the only one on planet Earth, it would be exciting. Can you imagine being the only person? That sounds scary, but not to Hillel Hazakin. That's the greatest thing. And it comes out in the Mesilas Yesharim that this is the remedy to Emuna. This is the remedy to Kina, is Emuna. Says the Mesilas Yesharim. He says, how do you work on Emuna? Lu yadu v'lu yavinu, Perek Yud Aleph. Prate minas and akiyas. Lu yadu v'lu yavinu. If people would only understand. Ki ein adam noigeya b'muchan l'chaveiro. You can't touch what your friends have. Afilu kibaloy nima, not a hair's breadth. V'kol kasher lo me Hashem hu kifiyat sasa nifla v'chak masa bilti nodas. And Hashem is allocating to you based on wisdom of what's good for you. They would not be fazed by anything that they see by their friends. Nothing. Because if I have a relationship with Hashem, and I'm here to do something, and Borei Olam is providing me with everything that will allow me to advance, then it's ridiculous to look at other people. As the Mesillas Yesharim says in the beginning, Hakina eina ela chisaron yediya v'sichlus, kina's stupidity. He doesn't say that about other things. Taivas are geshmak. A person wants a cheeseburger, hello dover. I never had a taiva for it, but whoever does, it's geshmak. This is stupidity. Stupidity. And he continues, Sheyid lanu anavi alzmano osid, shilamantia tovas Yisrael shlema. Hashem promises that in Mashiach he's going to get rid of this terrible midah. No one will be fazed by the things that other people accomplish. And people who are successful won't feel the need to hide what they did, so people won't, you know, try to get a hitman on them. No, they'll feel proud. They'll be able to share it with friends, and they'll really mean it when you go, I'm happy for you. No, I'm not. I'm happy for you. Right? How many people are happy for us? When Mashiach comes, we'll be able to say, this is my accomplishment. And your friend will say, you know what? Listen to mine. Listen to yours. Listen to mine. And each one of us will enjoy each other. Hu hashalom v'ashalva asher l'malachei hasharis. Listen carefully, because we're about to hit something very chashuv. This doesn't happen in Mesillas Yesharim. It only happens in one other time. I'll tell you when. Not now. Where he mentions malachei hasharis. He says, this is what malachim are like. Angels. Asher kulam smechem bavodasim ish al makoymoy ve'ein echon miskana bechaveru klal. Malachim don't get jealous of each other. Ki kulam yodim ha'emes lamito. They know the truth. Va'alezen al atov asher biyodim smechem bechalkam. They're happy what they have, and they're happy with their chelak. Can I ask you a question? What does this mean? Malachim not having kinah. Malachim are not. People with people. They don't have Yetzirah B'chlal. They don't have a lot of problems, okay? They don't have a lot of problems. What does he mean, Malachim don't have kinah? Why is he focusing on this? And it's not just him. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Peites says that when Moshe Rabbeinu is communicating to the Malachim, they don't want the Torah to go down here to planet Earth. He says, do you have kinah with one another? And they say, no. Sounds like there's some focus here. Angels and jealousy. They don't have jealousy. What's going on over here? Something amazing is happening over here. What is the comparison to a malach? So let's try to understand. There's one thing that we know about a malach. A malach has a mission. He has a mission. In fact, his name is even his mission. He is something that's clear. He knows exactly what he's being sent for. A malach is somebody who would never care what another malach's doing, because he's living the dream. He was given a mission. This is your mission. Right? Gavriel, Michael, Uriel. This is what... Right? They know they have to do what they have to do. They're excited about it. They're excited and clear about it. That guy, he's not doing my mission. I have a mission over here. The Ravon in his Siddur, the Ravon from the Beis Medrash of Rashi, the Ravon says that why did the Malachim, it says, Oyseh Shalom Bimromov. What's the Shalom Bimromov? That Malachim don't have kinah. How do they not have kinah from one another? He says a fascinating thing. He says when they go up and down, they can't see each other going up and down. Interesting. It sounds technical, right? When they go up, hey, why is he going up? I'm going down. What's going on over here? No, it's not like that. There's something much deeper over here. It's not just that they can't look. They don't care to look. They don't care to look. The Sefer Or Chaim Laharash, the Rush wrote a Musar Sefer. He says before Shemona Esrei, you should not look at other people's stuff. A new issue. Not looking at us, right? We've heard of Shmiras Einayim. He says you're not allowed to look at a stereo of somebody else. Interesting. What's going on? Because you're now about to enter the relationship that you have with Hashem. You know what's the biggest stare? That you think the party's somewhere else. There's a pneumius over here. There's you and Borei Olam. You're a malach, essentially. It may take a while for you to figure it out, but you have a mission. And it's so sad what happens. And here, this is worth millions of dollars, and this is my present to the Yarchei Kala. Was worth coming to Eretz Yisrael just for this Vart. This pshat in Mesillas Yesharim, which I hold is Pasha pshat in Mesillas Yesharim, but I never heard anybody say it. But afterwards, we will see that it's Pasha pshat in Mesillas Yesharim. This is my present to Reb Eli and the Yarchei Kala. Here we go. The Mesilta Sharm says something about levels of kina. He says, Yesh acherim she'enam mitzdarim v'kovim kolchach. There are people who don't get so upset when their friends are being matzliach. Afal pichin yargishu batzman ezitzar. Get a little bit upset. Then he says, there are those, yesh mi shesichluso rabo kolchach, they're so foolish. Ad shimir lechavero ezitoyva yisashesh ba'atzmoy v'yidam yitzdar. They can't live. And what happens? Ad shafilu hatoyva shibiyado. The beautiful things that they have in their life are flat, are stale. Lo yanu, they don't enjoy them. Mitzar mashu roa biyad chaveiro. From the tzar of what they see by their friends. Reminds me of Haman. Haman said, Kol zelo shavali! He had the whole kingdom. He was second in command. I can't deal with it, but I see that Mordechai. Right, Rachmano etzlan. And then he says the following thing. And this is what what it says in Mishlei, Yud Dalad Lamed. Urekav atzamas kina. The kina rots the bones. You'll excuse me, but I don't understand what the Mesilas Hashem is talking about. I've heard the kina actually rots the bones. It's brought down in Chazal and different places off of this pasuk. He says, you want to know what it means, kina rots the bones? It means somebody who sees success of other people and stops appreciating his own success. What does that have to do with rotting your bones? They told me that rotting the bones is at the end, you know, when somebody after 120 goes, how quicker the bone's going to rot. And Mesilas Yesharim says, no. Shlomo HaMelech meant somebody who sees success by someone else and stops appreciating his own success. Listen to the Mesilas Yesharim who so quietly opens up life for us. He says, what's the idea of a bone? The word bone is etzem. Etzem is me, my structure, who I am. When you want to talk about somebody, you take atzmi, me. The bones of a person are his very structure, his very being. Somebody who sees somebody else's success and can't appreciate his own success, his etzem is rotting. He's decaying. All the beauty of what makes him, he's not appreciating, it's all going to the ground. He's experiencing a Gehenna from all the beauty that he has because of this sickness of keeping up with the Joneses, Rachmana Litzlan. The etzem that's rotting is him. He's rotting with all of his beauty and all of his talents, Rachmana Litzlan. And today this is a geferlecha matzav. It's a geferlecha matzav in this area. We could have such wealth, Rabosai, such wealth. What does it mean, wealth? This is another thing that people think is a bumper sticker. Ezehu asher hasameach bechelka. Who is a wealthy man? Someone who's happy with a lot. You'll excuse me, but my Rebbeim told me to read things properly. And this doesn't make any sense to me, not even a little bit. Because I trust Chazal, okay? And I know what a wealthy man is. I've seen them. And it says, who is a wealthy man? Someone who's happy with his lot. So tell me he's happy. Don't tell me he's wealthy. Tell me he's happy. Do not tell me he's wealthy. Wealth is having, okay? You want to tell me someone can be happy with less? Fine, but don't call him wealthy. But listen for a second. Tiyatza Dishmaya. What's a wealthy man? There's deep, deep svarim. It's a sefer Shari Oira. It's a sefer in Kabbalah. He says, the yisoid of Ashiras. An Ashir is somebody who's powerful, who can make decisions. Wealth is not money. It's options. It's options. A wealthy man has an unlimited credit card. He can have every Rosh Yeshiva and make his day. I'll give you a building. Right? Rosh Yeshiva. You can do that if you're wealthy. Amazing power. It's the power to choose. It's so great to feel like you could sign a check and do whatever you want. That's Hashiras. That's wealth. That's wealth. That's wealth. Now, imagine you'd go over to one of these wealthy guys and go, hey, Mr. Schwartz, right? With all your names on all the Schwartz. You can't fly. You can't. It's true, I can't fly. But I have a jet. Ooh, you have a jet. But you're not Superman. You can't fly. Do you think he's going to care? I think you're a crazy person. Why doesn't he want to fly? He's not a bird. He's not a bird. It's very nice to fly, but if you're not a bird, you're not bothered by these things, okay? Birds, it ruins their day when they can't fly. But if you're a person, you're not bothered by that. You know why? Because it's a totally different being. It's a totally different thing. No one's bothered by that. Ezehu asher hasameach b'chelkoi means, I'm a wealthy man Because I can do everything in my life. I'm not you, and I'm not a bird. I'm not a monkey, and I'm not Yankel. Ezu Ashir, everything that I need for my life, I have entirely. I'm the wealthiest man. I have an unlimited credit card to make it to Olam Haba. I'm the Darga of Moshe Rabbeinu, lefi whatever my shlichus is. And this is the feeling of wealth. This is not happiness. This is the tremendous feeling of wealth. And today, guess what? People want to be birds. They do. The mushel's bad. People want to be birds. You know how I know? Men and women. Women want to be men. Okay? They want to be men. And they can try. They try. They will not succeed. Cheap imitations. Women want to be men. And you know what happens? The tragedy is they'll never be happy. If you want to find the biggest witches around, have conversations with these women's lib people. They are really angry ladies. Let me tell you. What happened to these people? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to live a life that's not theirs. And in Ikvas of the Mashiach, the last step of the game is that we're going to deny even who we are. I want to keep my last name. I'll show my husband. You know who else you'll show? Your kids. Your kids are not going to be zocha to the beautiful house where a husband and wife function together in this beautiful marriage of Ishak Sheros or its own Baila. Oh no, he doesn't tell me. Rachmana Litzlan, all the Rachmanis and the beauty of a woman. It wasn't so long ago that ESPN gave out a Courage Award. There were two people who were finalists for this Courage Award. A handicapped person who ran through the Special Olympics, did it, gave it his all, I for sure would have given him. And a famous athlete who was once a man who became a woman. Guess who won? I don't have to tell you, unfortunately. Guess who won? Do you understand what happened over here? The biggest coward in the world can't live in his own skin. Today, people refuse to listen to the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are a man. You will always be suffering till the day you die if you try to leave the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are a woman. If you try to be a man, you will become a witch. This is the Matzias of the Welt today. The whole world wants to change the Ribbono Shlom's world. This was supposed to be the no-brainer. First I wanted to be Yankel, now I want to be Sarah. Rachmana Litzlan. And we think this is an issue of Arayas. It's not just an issue of Arayas. The reason it's a Toyeva in the Torah is because it's a corruption of the Shlichus of Lashavas Bar Yitzram. Of why we were brought into the world. Rachmana Litzlan. I want to tell you a story I'm going to go over today because the Yarchei Kal is here. And I need a good excuse. But I want to tell you, there's a story here. There's a story here in this book. Reb Lazer Geldzahler Zatzal. He died young. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know much about him. But I know this story, and this story, in all the stories that I've read in my life, I hope I'll be able to get through the story without taking a break. Listen to this beautiful story. It says a lot about this Rav and it'll teach us about life. Sometime after, I'm not a good storyteller, so I'm going into the book. Sometime after Reb Lazer's Ptira, his daughter was driving on the Garden State Parkway. She stopped for gas and noticed that the attendant was a midget. As he began to wash her windows, he caught sight of a large picture on the passenger seat. He became visibly excited as he pointed to it. "How do you know that man?" he asked in a state of agitation. "I've been looking for him for more than 2 years. Where is he?" The girl gently informed him that the man in the portrait was her father and that he had passed away from injuries sustained during a bus accident. The fellow stared at her disbelieving and then began to cry silently. "You know," he said, "I do this job day after day, morning after freezing morning. There aren't many jobs available to someone like me. Cars pull in here every few moments, but everyone averts their eyes, feeling uncomfortable with my strange appearance. Then, one day, your father pulled in. He looked me straight in the eye, like no one else had ever done. He said, 'My friend, you are an inspiration. You were born with what might appear as a great handicap. But you refuse to play the role of a victim. You get up in the morning, go to work, earn an honest living. You're a role model for all of us. You teach us that circumstances should not dictate the terms of our existence. I'm on my way to New York," he says, "where I'm the head of a large school, a yeshiva. Today I'm going to tell my students all about you so that they might learn from your example. And this is the end. With his eyes glistening, the gas station attendant completed his tale. Of course, I so look forward to seeing your father. He made me feel tall. He made me feel tall. This, if you're misbinding in this, godless by every person, Rabbi Yisai. Godless. Chaviv and Adam should never betzel him. Godless. And Rav Sadok Zatzal says that a person should have emunah not just in Hashem, but he should have emunah in himself. And I think people make a mistake quoting this Rav Sadok HaKohen. Rav Sadok HaKohen doesn't mean that you should have emunah in yourself like you have emunah in Hashem. Part of emunah in Hashem is believing that you're somebody. Believing that you're somebody. Knowing that you must be somebody. Knowing that you could laugh at what everyone else does. Everyone can take a hike, and they should. If they don't realize, if they're always going to be the boys, and they're going to turn into kiddush clubs, and who knows what, when they're... Let them go. You don't need them. They're all taking away from the yechidus. And we're here at a Yarchei Kala. And I want to talk about just what exactly the Yarchei Kala has done for our yeshiva, which is nogeya to this. This is a fantastic gemara about understanding our shlichus. Says the gemara, Rav Idi Avua de Rav Yaakov. It's in Chagiga Daf Heyamid Beis. Rav Idi, who was known as the father of Yaakov, of Rav Yaakov Ar Idi. Habi Ravel Davi Ozel Tzasa Yarchei Beorchei V'chad Yoma Bebei Rav. He would travel 3 months to get to the Beis Medrash. Vavu Korele Rabbanon Bei Rav D'chad Yoma. He would come for a day and then have to go back home. 3 months travel, Rav Osai, right? Even on an Elal strike, you're not going to go for 3 months. 3 months he traveled, and then he went home. And why did he go home? Now, the Marsha says Parnassa, but listen to this one. Listen to what Rashi says, and this is on my list of things that I'm asking Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I have a few of them. This is on the top of my list. I ask him frequently, but this one I never asked him. Why did he go home after 3 months? He says, Rashi says, after Pesach, he traveled to Beis Medrash, 3 months away. Now he's got to go home. One day in yeshiva. Why? He's got to get home for Sukkos, L'sameach es ishto b'chag, to make his wife happy. Well, this is some Rebbetzin, let me tell you. He gets to yeshiva after 3 months. Honey, you've been there long enough. Come home. Right? For sure, al pi halacha, there's mechila on these things. But he obviously knows his shalom bayis. He's got to go home. Can you imagine? And they made fun of him. They called him the one dayer. The one dayer. Chalush daite. He got chalishas das. Kari anashi schok l'reyei. I'm a laughing stock. We shouldn't get in trouble because of the Rabbanan who are making fun of him. And he got up in yeshiva and he said, Darash, v'oisi yom yom yidrushin v'das darchi yichapetzen. Every day to day to day they will seek me out. V'chi b'yom darshin oso b'layla in darshin. In the day they're darash Hashem and not at night. Ela lomer lecha. Someone who learns Torah for 1 day, bashana in the year, mala akasuv ki'ilu aska b'chol hashana. It's like he learned the whole year. Can you explain this to me? I mean, we'd have no yeshivas for this. We have no yeshivas. But you know what? Here was a yid, as Reb Baron said last night so beautifully, who understood Ratzon Hashem. He understood Ratzon Hashem. He lived his life, and he made it into the Gemara. He had to go home for Shalom Bayis. I don't know how, all the Shalom Bayis books would not help for this 3 month trip back after 1 day. But he did it. He became famous, Rabosai, for doing absolutely nothing. For doing absolutely nothing. That 1 day was a vise on the whole Metzias. Was a vise on the whole Metzias. He had 1 day to learn and he took it. And everybody in the world, I want you to know, is going to Vermont on Thanksgiving weekend and the like. Okay? They're going, or Colorado, or to Switzerland, or to somewhere warmer. They're doing all this. They're doing all this. Somebody who comes to Eretz Yisrael and makes this vacation, work is hard. None of us have done it. I play in the Beis Medrash all day. You know what work is? It's hard. Actually, the truth is I love vacation. Now I work. I love vacation, okay? I would probably go to Vermont for most. I practice my snowboarding again. But I'm telling you, work is so hard and stressful. People deserve vacations. People who come here to vacation, to learn Torah, they're learning the ganze shana, the whole year, the ganze yar. And we thank you, and we hope that we'll be able to have that type of clarity, to understand that greatness is everywhere. Greatness is everywhere. A person who lives like this, who understands the ability to take opportunities, is someone who's living on a mission, is someone who's not driven by other people. We admire you and we thank you.